The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good morning. Welcome to Magnet Investing with Jordan Kimmel, the show that will take you through the ever-changing world of investing for a profit. Now, here's the host of Magnet Investing, Jordan Kimmel.
And good morning and welcome back to Magnet Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. And we've got a terrific guest lined up, a certified financial analyst from the Forbes Group. He actually wrote the book, the Forbes CFA Institute Investment Course Book. We're going to have on Vahan Janjigian, and we actually had him scheduled right before, interestingly enough, Hurricane Sandy, and both him and I got kind of blown away with our world, and so we rescheduled. Vahan, I'm really looking forward to hearing what he's all about. And again, remember, what this show has been about for all these years is about empowering the investor to become the best investor they ever can, not to give them a stock of the day, a quote of the day, a hot pick. Because, you know, when you do that, people will say, you know, I saw you on CNBC and 2 years ago and you recommended blah, blah, blah. And I'm like going, we haven't been involved in that in a year or so. And people are, oh, I held it. I didn't know you had sold it. These are the things. What we're trying to do here is more to empower you to be able to get beyond headline news, because, folks, if you're reading the headline again today, what we're hearing is the country is in an awful, awful mess. Too much debt, not enough jobs, blah, blah, blah. I mean, you could basically fill in the blanks, but you know, as I try to mention in the last couple of weeks over here, California turned around and already posted a budget surplus for the year. Watch for the United States. It sounds kind of crazy. Watch for the United States to come up with a budget surplus within a couple of years. This is the way things work. And again, I worked for the Office of Management and Budget in New York City when I got out of school. I know what the assumptions are. I know what how they play with the numbers. The same way I warned you 25 years ago, companies play with their quarterly numbers. Now, why am I saying all this? Does this sound negative? Well, the thing I've shared is that we've created a diagnostic approach to the market, which basically says, I don't really even care what the market does on a day-to-day basis. Oh, folks, let me back up a second. I've been promising, I've been sharing. The news has happened. I'm sitting right now in front of the live portfolio of Magnet AE. Our new fund has started. I am the portfolio manager. We're blending. The AE stands for Almanac Enhanced. So we're using all the jewels of the Stock Traders Almanac that's been really made them a household name for 47 years right now, and we're blending the Magnet stock selection. Now, why is this so important? Because when I woke up this morning, as excited I was for the market to open, I love what I do, folks, it wasn't whether or not the market would go up or down, interestingly, because I couldn't care less. What we actually have right now is a number of stocks that we own, meaning that we're long for this long side. These are companies with accelerating revenues and margins and cash flow. We're also short stock, which means we believe these stocks will go lower in price, and these are companies with decelerating revenues, with decelerating margins, with insiders jumping off the ship, with cash flow decelerating, debt accelerating. So what I'm getting at here is every time my kid goes to school and tells me he has a test, I know some kids are going to really struggle on that test. Some kids are going to stay up at night because they're afraid to go into school to take the test. Other kids are going to ace the test. They'll get extra credit. They might even get 110. And when you ask the students, how was the test? Well, each student's going to have a different answer, aren't they? Right? The guys who got an A+ are going to say the test was easy. The guys who got an F said the teacher's a creep. Test was on material they never taught. And so you know the story. In fact, I see the same thing in the stock market when a company in the apparel business reports better than expected earnings, increases the dividend, splits the stock, and the stock gaps up. The same industry, the same business, a company will turn around, report lower than expected earnings, same store sales declining, and what do? They blame the weather. It's a cool summer. It's a hot winter. It's, you name it. The fact is there's excuses for everything. What we're simply looking to do is to say we are in the business of evaluating individual entities based on their valuation and their cash flow. So if I was going to look at a hard obstacle course, a 10-mile hike, you could line people up and you could basically guess this overweight by 200 pounds guy's not going to make it. But you might see someone who's a little bit hefty and think that they're not in shape. They may be in better shape than almost anybody out there. So it's not a matter of looks. It's not a matter of appearances. It's a matter of being able to literally plug in all kinds. If you were then able to go in and test each company, test each person, and literally draw blood and see who's healthy, do an EKG, a heart exam, a lung exam, a kidney exam, then you actually say, hey, you know, this isn't guesswork as much. We kind of know who's who here. We can say who's who here, and that's what this is about. This is about being diagnostic. This is not a matter of stock market is a gamble. So if it was a gamble, basically I would not be in this thing. But what we can say is in a week from now, the AAII, that's the American Association of Individual Investors, puts out their list once a month, watching each screen. They've been watching Magnet since 98. And what I could tell you is you'll see the Magnet simple approach, exactly what we use, as the number one ranked on AAII.com now for 5 years and 10 years of anybody actually in the business. So the portfolio started. Hey, by the way, the portfolio, we just kicked this in, and guess what? We're down a couple of dollars to start the fund. Any panic? Any worry? No, we simply are doing what I've done now for 25 years, putting on positions at what we think are the right levels for the top growing revenue cash accelerating companies in the world. At the same time, we're looking at companies that maybe had shot up, that were overextended, but all of a sudden we see their revenues declining, margins declining, insiders selling shares. Folks, we would love to be short these stocks. I don't care who the governor, president, or Fed chairman is. Give me an opportunity to bet against a very, very slow, sick animal in nature. They're going to get eaten. This is what happens. Give me an opportunity to bet on the single best, strongest, cash-flowing companies where we could also see, by the way, whether institutions are buying or selling. So this is not a buy-and-hold approach. This is the Magnet approach. This is the buy and re-rank. And again, you know, very simple, but, you know, I love the old timers. I study everyone who was successful. And we mentioned Will Rogers, the old movie star cowboy, who turned out to be one of the greatest investors of his era. And he was a simple Midwesterner who said, hey, I only buy them if they go up. If they stop going up, I sell them. Sounds almost too simple to be for real, but this is what you do in sports. This is what you do if you're successful in the market. You only ride a healthy horse. You don't get on an unhealthy horse. You don't say this horse, which is now 16 or 18 years old in bad health, is suddenly going to turn around and get healthy. I mean, these are things that you learn over time. What you need to do, most importantly, is to take all your ego and a whole lot of your knowing what's going to happen and simply toss it out the window and basically say, I'm going to observe, I'm going to watch, I'm going to have a hunch, but I'm only going to stick with my hunch if the hunch works. If the hunch doesn't work, I'm getting the heck out of Dodge, and I'll redeploy my capital again another way. So what we've had on this show, we've had on day traders. We've had on value investors who want to think they could find something that's selling at 50 cents on the dollar, wait for it to go up on 80 cents on the dollar, and repeat. We've had on momentum investors. We've had on William O'Neill, and we've had on Michael Steinhardt, all different styles of investing. The point is, we don't want to tell you what's going to work for you. What I'm going to tell you is this one thing I know won't work for you, and that's burying your head in the sand, expecting inflation to stay at 0% and earning 0% in the bank, while you're kind of waiting for somehow Goldilocks to come out or things to get better. Folks, this is what's called a market that is yielding more than the bonds are yielding. So what I'm really interested in doing is we're going to switch horses after the break. We're going to bring in on Von Hahn. He's working. He's written a book for Forbes CFA Institute. This is a different approach to investing. It's probably, I'm guessing, it's a safety first. The only thing is, we get to hear from Vahan directly, so what we'll do is we'll take a real quick break. Go to magnetinvesting.com, folks, guys. Go to magnetae.com. That's the new site which highlights what we're doing with the new fund. Grab a cup of coffee, do what you do. Come right back. We'll be right back after a quick message. We're really looking forward to hearing the author of the Forbes CFA Institute Investment Course. We'll be on with Vahan Janjigian right after this quick break.
Stocks, bonds, investment opportunities, financial news, and talk. We can help. Call us now toll free, 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Listen for Trust Across America every week on the Voice America Variety Channel. Tune in as host Jordan Kimmel is joined by national experts in the fields of accounting, finance, organizational behavior, and sustainability, as well as companies that are applying strategies that are enabling them to be recognized as doing the right thing by the American Trust Awards. Your host, Jordan Kimmel, is himself a trusted professional with years of experience in applying strategies and consulting with today's leading firms. Trust Across America is heard Wednesdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
Do you want to know what's really going on these days? Well, Capital Thinking takes you inside the worlds of policy, politics, law, and business. What happens in Washington, on Wall Street, and in our nation's legal system impacts your business every day. We're taking you on a behind-the-scenes tour of all of it. Each week, we bring you unfiltered conversation with a variety of influential policymakers, lawyers, and business leaders. I'm Kevin O'Neill, and I'm your host as Capital Thinking tours the halls of power. Join me for Capital Thinking on the Voice America Business Network each Thursday at noon Eastern and 9 a.m. Pacific Time.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
logged on to Magna Investing with Jordan Kimmel. If you would like to call in with a question or comment for Jordan or his guests, dial toll-free at 866-472-5790. Once again, that number is 866-472-5790. Let's get back to another segment of Magna Investing. Here's Jordan Kimmel.
And welcome back to Magna Investing. And what we've done over the course of the show is bring on different styles of investing, different money managers. It's really a pleasure right now to bring on the author of the Forbes CFA Institute investment course. There's a couple authors, but the lead author on the book, Vahan, is you. It's Vahan Janjigian. Thanks so much for joining us, Vahan, and it's a pleasure to have you here today.
Thanks, Jordan. Thanks for asking me to come on.
All righty. And what I want to remind everybody is you've actually come extremely well endorsed and recommended not only by Forbes, but some folks on the back of your nice hardcover book. We don't know each other really, Vahan, at all. What I'd like you to do, if you could, is share your background with the group, who you are, what you've done, and we'll jump right into your book and what it means to be a CFA and how you manage money.
Okay, sure. Well, I started my professional career as a finance professor, teaching primarily corporate finance and investments. I did that for about a dozen years. And then I was approached by Forbes because they were looking for someone with my expertise to be the new editor of the Special Situation Survey Investment Newsletter. That's a newsletter that Forbes has been publishing since the 1950s. As far as I know, it's the oldest continuously published investment newsletter on the market. It was actually started by Malcolm Forbes, and my job was to pick stocks and direct the equity research staff. While I was at Forbes, I was also promoted to chief investment strategist for the company. I wrote a column on investing for the magazine once in a while. And then approximately 3 years ago, I decided to start managing money. So I joined Greenwich Wealth Management here in Greenwich, Connecticut. I now manage portfolios for my own clients with a focus on U.S. stocks, and I also use exchange-traded funds to do that. I also publish my own investment newsletter now called Money Masters Stock Report, which is available at my website, janjig.com, janjig.com. And in addition to all this, I recently started teaching again a little bit on a part-time basis. I'm teaching business executives in Singapore and also in New York City on how to do equity analysis.
Fantastic.
That's what
you
I do.
You are a busy soul.
Yeah, I guess so. And every once in a while I do some writing. As you mentioned, I have the Forbes CFA Institute investment course out, and then prior to that I published a book called Even Buffett Isn't Perfect.
Good. So let me ask you, I mean, what we can do, I love the conversation, I love what you do. We could have you, we could cover what you're doing in a couple segments, maybe we'll do it in one. What I'd love you to do right here is maybe, you know, just to make it extra clear, we've had folks on that are certified chart technicians, but what you're doing with a certified financial analyst is a whole lot different than when I think of a broker or someone along those lines. Why don't you explain what it actually means to be a CFA, what goes into it, and maybe the fact that they're using this book for, you know, to help folks pass the course maybe?
Okay, sure. Yeah. Just to correct you on one thing, the CFA stands for Chartered Financial Analyst. They're very sensitive about not being called certified.
Okay.
So it's Chartered Financial Analyst. And unlike the Certified Market Technician designation, which is focused on technical analysis, the CFA is focused on fundamental analysis. So this is more in line with the kind of thinking that you would see with Warren Buffett, for example, or any other fundamentalist. So a CFA analyst would be focused on the fundamentals of a company, the fundamentals of the economy, taking more of a long-term approach to investing. Now, I'm very familiar with all of the academic research on investing, and there are two kinds of investing that really seem to work well. One is a long-term buy-and-hold strategy focused primarily on value stocks, and in particular, small-cap value stocks. Mm-hmm. And the second is a momentum-type strategy, which is focused primarily on growth stocks, and especially growth stocks that have positive SUs. SU is an acronym for Standardized Unexpected Earnings. So if a company has been consistently beating its earnings estimates, and it's primarily a growth stock, those kinds of stocks tend to do really well over shorter periods of time. And I'm not talking about day trading. These are, you know, these are typically periods of time of between 6 and 18 months. So it's a momentum-based strategy. So the chartered financial analyst recognizes that these kinds of strategies work. You know, they are not opposed to trading, like some people believe. I actually think that trading is a good thing because it provides liquidity to the markets. Mm-hmm. And if there were no traders, then long-term investors would never be able to buy or sell. They have to do that every once in a while. So, you know, I think both strategies are valuable. I tend to focus more on the longer-term value-type strategy. But I'm not really focused only on value stocks. I look for what I call undervalued stocks. And I use a very rigorous, very conservative discounted cash flow analysis to identify stocks that I believe are selling for less than their intrinsic value.
Fantastic. Okay, so I have a slew of questions I'd love to ask. And again, everyone handles strategies, clients, portfolios differently. Let me start by asking a question about diversification, because it's something that I think a lot about. Two questions. How many companies or holdings do you think is a good amount of diversification, and how many do you use in an average client's portfolio?
Okay, that's an excellent question. It's actually a topic of debate in the investment community. If you believe that the markets are efficient, which I don't, but there are people who believe the markets are very efficient, and so they would argue that you shouldn't even be in the business of picking individual stocks. You should basically own the entire market. So you should be extensively diversified, and the easiest way to do that is to simply buy an index type of mutual fund.
Mm-hmm.
Then there are others who believe that the market is not so efficient. And Warren Buffett has argued that if you really know what you're doing, if you're a good analyst, a good portfolio manager, then you can get sufficient diversification from just half a dozen stocks. So that's what I would call the opposite extreme. Now, I believe half a dozen stocks is too few, but I also recognize that if you have too many stocks in your portfolio, then you really have no hope of beating the market.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what you want to do, you might as well just buy the index fund.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do for my clients is I tend to follow a fairly concentrated strategy. I typically have anywhere from 15 to 20 individual stocks, and then I also will use exchange-traded funds to get exposure to sectors that I don't have a lot of expertise in. Not enough expertise to pick the individual securities, but there are sectors that I believe my clients, depending on the client, needs to have exposure to. So, for example, I don't want to be in the business of picking individual stocks in, let's say Europe or Africa or something like that. So there are exchange-traded funds that I can use to get exposure to certain parts of the world or to the world at large. I also don't really like to pick utility stocks, but I can use exchange-traded funds to get exposure to the utility sector or the financial services sector or something like that.
Okay. Let me jump in. I want to ask a question just so I handle this right. Do you have time to stick with me after the break for another short segment? Because there's a lot I'd like to cover with you. If not, we'll move to some other area questions.
Yeah, sure. I'd be happy to.
Oh, good. So let me just, I wanted to get that out of the way because I think that's really important. There's some things I want to cover. Let me ask you kind of a funny question that I always enjoy. So you hear about completely fundamental investors, and I love to visit people at their office, and then they have chart books on their desks. So my question is, do you use charts to enter and exit positions yourself?
I don't. Although there are people in my office who do, who are managing their own portfolios, and they tend to pay more attention to the charts. I don't pay attention to charts at all because I'm really focused on the long term. I think charts are more useful to shorter term traders. I'm not saying they're not useful. They are useful to these shorter term traders, but I tend to take a longer term approach. So when I do the fundamental analysis on a stock and I really like it, I will establish a position in that stock, and I will actually hope that the stock goes lower, not higher, because I want to be able to build that position over time at lower and lower prices. As Warren Buffett says, that the only time you should want the price of a stock to go up is when you want to sell it.
Absolutely, right.
Yeah, so I'm really looking for building positions over time. So the chart doesn't matter to me. If the fundamentals look good, I want to build a position in that stock over time.
Right. Now, that's a very bold, confident style, especially, Vahan, what I'm hearing is you do stay concentrated. So there's a tremendous amount, what you're saying is you have a tremendous amount of confidence in the skill of what the balance sheets and what this is all saying. So why don't we do this before we take a break? There's a lot more to cover. Vahan, what I'd like to offer is, why don't you start by maybe sharing your contact information, and maybe something, if you want to talk some contact information about the Forbes CFA Institute investment course as well. Let's start there, get your contact information so they can follow the next segment, then we'll take a break.
Okay, sure. The easiest way to contact me is through my website. That's janjig.com, janjig.com. And there are links on the website to my email address and also to Greenwich Wealth Management, where I actually manage the portfolios, so they can find out about our firm there. As far as the CFA Institute textbook goes, the easiest way to find that is to go to Amazon.com and just type in Forbes / CFA Institute, and it'll be the first book that pops up.
Right. And so if you were going to study for the CFA exams, you think starting with this book's a good place?
Actually, no. I would not recommend the book as a way to study for the CFA exams. If you're going to study for the CFA exams, there are very specific texts that the CFA Institute requires you to read. This book is really geared more for retail investors who would like to have a higher level of understanding of the markets, but not necessarily prepare for some type of charter.
Gotcha. So maybe to know what the doctor's doing in the office, but not to be the doctor.
That's a great way to put it.
Gotcha. Okay. Fantastic. Listen, we are with Vahan Janjigian, and I think it's a great conversation, and we're going to look forward to more. We'll be right back right after this quick break.
The market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Listen for Trust Across America every week on the Voice America Variety Channel. Tune in as host Jordan Kimmel is joined by national experts in the fields of accounting, finance, organizational behavior, and sustainability, as well as companies that are applying strategies that are enabling them to be recognized as doing the right thing by the American Trust Awards. Your host, Jordan Kimmel, is himself a trusted professional with years of experience in applying strategies and consulting with today's leading firms. Trust Across America is heard Wednesdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
The way we do banking today continues to evolve. No longer is it just brick and mortar locations or traditional bankers' hours. Today, banking is 24/7. It's in the home. It's on the go. It's digital. Tune in to Breaking Banks with Brett King for a look at how traditional banking as we know it has changed due to a loss of trust, changing economic conditions and consumer behavior, government involvement, and of course, technology. What does it all mean? Listen every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific, on the Voice America Business Channel. When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to Magna Investing with Jordan Kimmel. If you would like to call in with a question or comment for Jordan or his guest, dial toll-free at 866-472-5790. Once again, that number is 866-472-5790. Let's get back to another segment of Magna Investing. Here's Jordan Kimmel.
And welcome back to Magna Investing. I think this next segment is going to be really, really fun. We are with Vahan Janjigian. He's not only an author of the Forbes CFA Institute Investment Course, along with a couple of co-authors. What I really love, Vahan, is that you're not talking about it, but you're actually involved in the market. You're managing live portfolios. You are in the game, which makes you very different than a talking head, let's just call them. And so let me start with this question. I think a lot of times people are talking about the market, but you hear them talking instead about the market, they're talking about the economy. So what I'd like you maybe to share is your opinion on the connection, the relationship, frankly, between the stock market and the economy, and where's the lag and who leads who and what should you be looking at to look ahead of the scenes rather than what just did, in fact, just happened.
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, my view is that the stock market and the economy go hand in hand, but only over the long term. Over shorter periods of time, they can diverge tremendously, and I think we've seen that over the last couple of years, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, you know, economists believe that the stock market is a leading indicator for the economy. So if the stock market is going up, that's usually an indication that the economy is likely to start improving. I'm not necessarily sure that that's what we're seeing now, because we've got a factor in the economy now that we've never really had before, and that's the Federal Reserve. They've been unbelievably aggressive in their quantitative easing, and in my view, that's what's really been responsible for driving up stock prices. And very, very recently, we've been starting to see a spike in volatility. And volatility had been, quite low recently. It was extremely high in 2011, by the way, and then it really subsided. And volatility had been very, very low, but just in the last couple of weeks, it's been picking up. And oftentimes, when you see this increase in volatility, that causes a sell-off in the stock market. So I wouldn't be surprised if we were to see some sell-off. And I'm very concerned about a couple of things that I'm seeing in the economy. I'd say, you know, one of the indicators that I wrote about on my blog very recently is the manufacturing sector. We recently got a report from the Institute of Supply Management on their Purchasing Managers Index, which fell below that critical level of 50. 50 is considered the level. Anything above 50 is, tells you that the manufacturing sector is expanding. Anything below indicates that it's contracting. Mm-hmm. We're now below the 50, but what's more worrisome is that if you take the 12-month moving average of that indicator, it has been dropping quite steadily for quite some time. So the manufacturing sector really looks troubled right now. And you know, many people say, well, so what? You know, manufacturing isn't that big of a deal anymore. Our economy is primarily a services-oriented economy. That's true. The services sector is definitely bigger than the manufacturing sector, but manufacturing is still very important. It accounts for 19% of corporate profits in this country. The goods-producing sector of this of our economy accounts for about 24% of the economy. So this is a very significant sector, and when you see it troubled like this, I think that's a bad sign. Another area that I also have some concerns about is the housing market, even though there are signs that that's been improving. In fact, if you look at the latest Case-Shiller numbers, they were up 10% year over year, and everybody's very excited about that. But one of my concerns is that a lot of what's going on in the housing market is not coming from, you know, ordinary people who are looking for a house to buy and move into. It's coming from institutional investors and other types of investors that are buying houses, oftentimes with cash, and then not moving into them, but renting them out. Now, you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing, but until I start seeing more individuals having the confidence to buy homes because they're getting good jobs, that causes me some concern. And of course, the employment market, I think, is incredibly troubled despite, you know, what looks like a decreasing unemployment rate. The fact of the matter is the only reason it's decreasing is because the participation rate is also plummeting. So I'm very concerned about what I see in the economy.
Right. I mean, it's an interesting, you know, comments. And again, I think that what we hear more of anything is the fears and the worries and the fiscal cliff and the end of the United States. And yet, the market has been, you know, very resilient. You're saying it's a lot to do, I guess, with the Fed, you know, making sure. But, you know, one of the things I like to say back then is this old thing, don't fight the Fed. But I say don't fight a globally coordinated Fed right now.
Yeah,
so I guess if the Fed is telling you they're going to keep a steep yield curve and they made this commitment, you're still afraid of it.
Well, I'm not afraid of it in the short term. I mean, I think there is no question that the Fed will continue with its easing policy for a while. But there's no doubt in my mind that they eventually have to reverse what they've been doing. And when that happens, unless the economy is doing incredibly well, and by that I mean growing at, you know, 4 or 5% GDP, if the economy isn't growing that strongly, when the Fed starts to reverse, we're going to see a lot of the air coming out of the bubble. Just imagine where our stock market would be now if the Federal Reserve had not done what it has done. I think the only reason we're at current levels is because of Fed action. Now, again, as you pointed out, you know, it doesn't matter why the market's going up. If the Fed is doing what it's doing, you should be in the market.
Let me ask you this question. Do you use your same metrics to short overvalued stock, or are you long only?
For my clients' portfolios, I'm long only. I occasionally do go short in my own personal portfolio, but for clients, we do longs only.
Okay. And so this is a really important thing for me. You know, what you've said to me is you run concentrated portfolios and you will average down. So there's got to be a tremendous amount of confidence in some of the metrics you use. I'm thinking it goes beyond reported earnings, right? So is there anything that you can share in your metrics that makes you so confident that you will average down even while a position, you know, is going lower? What metrics give you that kind of confidence?
Okay, well, the way I do my analysis is that I believe that the only theoretically correct way to determine what any asset is worth, I don't care if it's a stock or a bond or anything, the only theoretically correct way to determine what it's worth is to do a discounted cash flow analysis. The problem with a discounted cash flow analysis is that it requires making certain assumptions and projections about the future.
Mm-hmm.
And you can bet that any time you try to predict something that's going to happen in the future, you can bet you're going to be wrong. So as a result, what I do is I want to make very conservative assumptions and very conservative projections. So when I do my analysis and I come to the conclusion that I think it's very likely that this particular company, for example, is going to be able to grow its revenues at, let's say, 3% annually for the indefinite future, when I do my modeling, I use a much smaller number. So, for example, I might assume that their revenues are going to actually decrease 2% annually.
Mm-hmm.
If I really believe that this company can maintain an operating profit margin of, let's say, 15%, I will model only 12% or maybe only 10%.
Okay.
So I'm making very conservative assumptions, and if based on these assumptions, I still conclude that the market price of this stock is below the intrinsic value, then I consider it a buy.
Right. Okay, and there, what I'm hearing is, again, margin of safety, conservative analysis, and I have a lot of respect for that. Let me ask you, you know, one of the difficult things, because I remember, I live here in northern New Jersey, I remember Lucent on the way from $70 down to $1, where they admitted they were going to turn around and sell their golf course. And people turned around and said, what golf course do you actually even own? So I'm bringing up this issue of off balance sheet and things that really, I think, took a lot of fundamental people to the woodshed a few years ago. And, you know, how do you, what about these issues about these off balance sheets and not really being able to understand sometimes what's even inside a company?
Yeah, that's a good point. And even furthermore, I would say that, you know, there are companies that, you know, have fraudulent balance sheets.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't understand that when a company files its financial statements with the SEC doesn't, you know, look over them and approve them or disapprove them. The SEC just simply aggregates them. So as an analyst, you know, I have to work under the assumption that the financial statements that have been filed are, you know, at least somewhat of an accurate reflection of that company's financial situation.
Mm-hmm.
So if there is fraud involved, then yes, absolutely, my analysis could be way off.
Right.
But I have to assume that there isn't fraud. And I actually think that in 95% of the cases, there is no fraud. I think most corporations are honest and most executives are honest.
I agree with that. I'm just talking about the risk of being in a concentrated portfolio and averaging down into something that may have some murky waters. But listen, here's what it is. I respect what you do. I think what you do is important. And I think the value approach, the thing that I heard the most that I really respected in addition was the deep, deep, thorough analysis, and at least you know why you're buying, you know what your assumptions is, and you know when your assumptions can change. So I think it's a great conversation. I want to give you one more time before we go to break, Bahan. Why don't you give your contact information, and let me thank you for a great discussion.
Well, thank you, Jordan. My contact information, again, is janjig.com, janjig.com, and I have links there to Greenwich Wealth Management, also to the books that we talked about. My email address is on there. And also, I would encourage, you know, I have a blog on that website, and I would encourage your listeners to go into the box where it says free email alerts. They can put in their email address, and anytime I post something on my blog, they will get an alert about it.
Well, terrific, terrific. Listen, I really appreciate the time. Continued success, and We'll come back again, explore some more how things are going as the year or two passes, okay?
Sounds great. Thanks very
Fantastic.
Much.
Fantastic. And what we'll do here is we'll take a really quick break. I want to wrap up for our last segment. We'll be back with more Magnet Investing right after this quick break.
Always talking business. Talk to an expert. Call now toll free 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Listen for Trust Across America every week on the Voice America Variety Channel. Tune in as host Jordan Kimmel is joined by national experts in the fields of accounting, finance, organizational behavior, and sustainability, as well as companies that are applying strategies that are enabling them to be recognized as doing the right thing by the American Trust Awards. Your host, Jordan Kimmel, is himself a trusted professional with years of experience in applying strategies and consulting with today's leading firms. Trust Across America is heard Wednesdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
Today's business marketplace is becoming increasingly global thanks to technologies that didn't even exist a few short years ago. Your business might be a startup, or you might be one of the global 500. Either way, you're probably looking at customers and competitors in faraway regions. Listen for Global Reach with host Tay Revez as she brings together experts, ideas, and listeners to help you anywhere in the world. Global Reach is broadcast every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to Magna Investing with Jordan Kimmel. If you would like to call in with a question or comment for Jordan or his guest, dial toll-free at 866-472-5790. Once again, that number is 866-472-5790. Let's get back to another segment of Magna Investing. Here's Jordan Kimmel.
And welcome back to Magna Investing. And I hope you folks enjoyed listening to Fahan. Very interesting an approach and analysis. Again, I deeply, deeply believe in value investing and the margin of safety, as Graham and Dodd called it, long before Warren Buffett took the courses and began a value approach. There's one thing, though, that I want to bring out here, and this really is the key. Vahan touched on this issue about, you know, most of the time, you know, frankly, management are honest, and I do believe in the common man actually giving me the right change and putting a dozen eggs in that little thing that I expect there to be a dozen eggs in, and so on. But Magna takes it one step further. And again here, what I like to do is, because computers are so powerful and can combine so much information, I have 19 different variables that Magna actually goes through and ranks each company. Again, like just like a person, you look at their heart, their lungs, their kidneys, their liver, blood pressure, blood count, all these kind of things. So I think you need to go even deeper and dig deeper. And then what happens is, when you actually rank out highly relatively to companies in your sector, your industry, and the same size, and you either have fantastically higher or lower margins or higher or lower cash flow, and that's the point. Anything in the middle, anything that's average, I have no interest in. What our model is very, very different. It's actually highlighting the outliers, good or bad. So Vahan threw out a number of revenue growth of 3%. Okay, a lot of companies have revenue growth of 3%. Very few companies have revenue growth over 20%, also have valuation lower than the market, also have accelerating margins. And again, I'm just basically saying that what I want to do is I want to triple check and quadruple check every single company by even more metrics. And then what makes us different, and it's good that we're different, everyone is different, is I actually do use stop losses. As much as I trust my model, as much as I love my model, I use stop losses because I do believe that the market has extra risk that most people don't recognize. And I've been around for so long and seen so many different things that all I want to do is I want to double and triple and quadruple check. And then I base an assumption. If my assumption does not happen, if it's not according to plan, I will change my assumption, knowing that I could always buy a stock back. I could always go short a stock if I want to. What happens to me is there's a lot of issues with price and the volume. And in fact, one of the things we're doing right now for the largest institutions interested in us is actually documenting what sequence we go through from discovering a company to putting it on portfolio and to leaving it in there. It's a very rigorous, very disciplined, very, very rigorous approach. So basically, that's what I'm doing. I'm not saying that anybody should have the time or interest or even a professional to be able to get all this data and combine it the way we did it, but that's what we do. And that's the only way I feel comfortable is if we not only looked at revenue, but we looked at margins, and then we looked at things like inventory and telling signs, how companies do play games. And then once we identify what we're ready to do, so I have my portfolio in front of me, folks. I haven't, by the way, made a trade while the show's been on. I don't day trade. I put positions on, but we did put some new positions on this morning. If there's anything that we're talking about, that any way we can help you, the number, the team is right in the office. It's 914-358-5588. If you want to rank your holdings according to Magnet and just see what the current Magnet score is on the stocks inside your portfolio, folks, that's complimentary to Voice America listeners. Just call 914-358-5588. If you want to see what our best ideas are, if you want to see how we're managing money, if you want to make a suggestion for other guests, topics, or anything we can make the show more helpful for you, the only thing I can say is what we're going to continue to hear about for the rest of our lives are what's wrong, what hot spots in the world may trigger a war, what companies are doing poorly, what government official just broke the law, what corporate manager just had their hand in the cookie jar. The news sells when there's bad news. So we will continually be dripped with what's wrong with the country, what's wrong with the market, what's wrong with the world. And in the meantime, if Warren Buffett's numbers, by the way, this is a little absurd. Warren Buffett, in one of his old newsletters, which you should all read, said if the market did for this century, for what it did last century, the same exact annual percentage gain, you know, the Dow would close at the turn of the next century over a million, something like 1,057,000. Well, folks, we will not be around to open our confirmations and our monthly statements back then, but I will tell you, in between now and then, there'll be dozens of recessions, unfortunately, wars, famines, floods, riots, whatever, and yet new companies will emerge. They'll sell new products that people want. They will be replacing other companies in the S&P, which will be old, dead, and stodgy, and will simply be replaced. And maybe a cup of coffee will cost $30 or $50 or $100. Just don't expect 0% inflation and your money in the bank to maintain any of its purchasing power over time. In what feels like a fairly short life for me, I've already seen everything go up by about 5 to 6 to 10 times what I used to pay as a kid. Folks, it's only going to continue. You have to own things, not lend your money at 0% or 1% and expect to make it. Thoroughly enjoyed today's show. Most importantly, folks, I am loving looking at this portfolio, looking at the names. And if there's any way we can help you get involved in what feels to me like a terrific yet unloved market, give us a call. Let us know how we can make the show better. Have a great week ahead. 914-358-5588 rings right to the desk. Let us know what we could do to help you become a better investor. Pick up Magnet Investing, where we show the model, folks, that AAII is using. The Magnet method of investing takes it a little bit deeper if you're up for it. We'll see you right here next week. Enjoy the week, and we'll see you right here on Voice America. Thanks to Brad and the engineers at Voice America. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week right here on Magnet Investing. Have a wonderful week ahead. See you then. Bye-bye now.
The Voice America Business Channel would like to thank you for logging on to Magnet Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Tune in each and every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern Time for another exciting hour of Magnet Investing. Right here on the bottom line of business talk, the Voice America Business Channel.